to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say welcome, and I do hope you will enjoy your stay here on this little adventure that I would like to call the Animation Podcast, or as what Filmbook would like to call the Animation Podcast. But anyways, specifically though, it will go into the latest news that happened this week. So first things first, we got a whole batch of trailers that we are going to be looking at. Then afterwards, we will be looking into the first episode of a miniseries that Marvel created known as Rocket and Groot. Then afterwards, we will be looking at Disney's new purchase of a season 2 for Big Hero 6. Then after that, we will be heading on down to look into the Japanese dub of the live-action reboot of Ghost in the Shell and how it might actually have a little bit more of a connection to the original. And finally, we got Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, to start things off, I am going to be looking into a little thing that I would like to call a trailer review extravaganza. Yes, this week we have actually gotten a giant batch of trailers. Not just of movies that we've already gotten trailers before, but also our first look into these movies. And you know, it's actually really coincidental. Like, this was something that I've recently found out, is that we have gotten 4 trailers of animated features, and each one of them would come from a different season. So we got the first one, which is going to be coming out in the spring. Then afterwards, we got another one coming out in the summer. Then afterwards, we got one in the fall. And then finally, the last one that we have is going to be coming in next winter. So it's a little bit of a coincidence. So we got animated trailers of the season. So it actually really does connect very well and really quite coincidental for this week to have them all at once. So first things first, let us go and look into the movie that we will get in the spring, which is actually really, really close and just less than a month from when I'm recording this, which is Sony Pictures Animation's Smurfs The Lost Village. And when it comes to Smurfs The Lost Village, we have already gotten a few trailers beforehand. We have already seen what the animation is going to look like, how everything is going to be set up. But this time, they brought out a brand new trailer that would reveal a lot more of what the movie will hold. And I think the biggest strength about this trailer, and honestly, coming from me, I can't believe I'm saying this, but oh my god, they really executed so well in the animation. Like, that's probably the biggest selling point of this movie, is that it really is going to be a visual spectacle. Once they get into the Forbidden Forest and we see the magical land that it holds, it actually really does look nice. It's like the colors are very vibrant. And on top of that, the monsters and all the different creatures and the plants that they have in there, they are very creative. Honestly, like, this is probably the first time in a long time that I would ever see a trailer coming from a Sony Pictures Animation film, and I don't feel embarrassed or I don't feel stupid, that it doesn't feel like it's degrading the medium or anything like that. Like, this legitimately now feels like it's coming from artists who actually know what they're doing this time. So in the animation front, it definitely feels like it's really going to deliver something that is absolutely going to be visually pleasing. But with that said, though, even though that would be the best selling point, there is something that I am still a little bit iffy about and a little bit concerned. And that is going to be in terms of the writing. from the trailer that I've seen so, well, from this trailer that I've seen, I'm still not convinced regarding the characters and the humor. There really isn't anything that I laughed at that I've already thought it was funny in the first trailer. And in here, like, whatever new brand of humor that they would bring in this trailer, it just doesn't seem as funny. And I don't feel as connected, or I don't feel, I don't feel like I'm rooting for these characters. Rather it be the old Smurfs that we already know about, or the new Smurfs that they end up discovering. So yeah, in this trailer, it does feel like it's going into more spoiler territory, because now we know that in the Lost Village, it's going to be featured with Girl Smurfs, which is the origins of Smurfette. So I don't know. It's just that that's my biggest concern, is going to be the writing. Now, I've already seen so many people out there that they're already praising this trailer, pretty much saying that it's already way better than the Smurfs movies. And that I can absolutely agree. Like, this definitely does feel like this is going to be a lot better than Sony Animation's previous adventures with the Smurfs. And there's no way in hell that this movie is going to be really low in the levels of either the Smurfs or the Smurfs 2. In fact, it's not going to be a disaster like the Muslim Ban, which coincidentally, that like the Muslim Ban and the Smurf movies actually both have something very much in common. There are two different variations of it, and they both came out as disasters. All right, now, but all joking aside, though, from what I'm expecting from this trailer is that, you know, I don't think it's going to be a bad movie, but I don't really expect it to be one of the best animated features of the year. It's going to be probably something more in the lines of maybe what we got last year with the Angry Birds movie, where in terms of the animation, it absolutely does deliver, but the story and the writing and the characters and all that stuff, you know, it's not going to be as strong. Like, yes, the ultimate defense for this is that it's going to be better than the Smurf movies, but is that going to be enough to really make it a huge hit? Is it going to be really successful? Is it really going to bring in audiences and bring in a new batch of fans for the Smurfs? That's the one concern that I do have. Like, it's going to be an upgrade, but is it only going to be a small upgrade? Who knows? But so far, I'm actually rather impressed with what they have in this trailer, or at the very least, I'm impressed with what they have visually. So we'll just wait. We'll just wait and see with what the Smurf has to deliver in April. Okay. So with that said, moving right along, we now have the movie In the Summertime, which in this case is going to be Despicable Me 3. Now, we've already gotten our first trailer before, and it's a little bit more of a teaser trailer showing a little bit of a scene with Gru pretty much trying to stop Balthazar Brat, who is the new villain of this film, and he's pretty much entirely themed on the 80s. But in this one, we have a little bit more of a story. And Balthazar Brat is actually not present in here, but we actually have a brand new character who is Drew, which is Gru's long-lost brother. So we do have a little bit of an idea of what this story actually is. So Gru and his family, apparently, things aren't really going well for them, considering that because of what we've seen in the first teaser trailer, they actually ended up being fired from their job, and things aren't looking as well. So, but then, suddenly, Drew decided to go invite Gru, who is the long-lost twin, and still played by Steve Carell. And Drew really wants to get back in the supervillain business, and want to go back with it with Gru. So they decided to go and collaborate together to get back into their villainy roots. And you do see a little bit of their origins, kind of like the long line of the Gru family. And this is actually where you do get a bit of that same immaturity. If you guys remember way back in the Despicable Me 2 trailer, You may recall that there is that little sense of, like, immature humor from the Minions, and it actually really became popular. Like, we do get another one like this, where you enter into the hallway and you see, like, statues of the Gru family, where you see, like, different variations of Gru as supervillains, and then you got this female Gru, in which one of the Minions just look at it, and he just goes,
it's a Gru with the boobs,
You know, like, honestly, it is a cute little addition and a nice little throwback of just the immature style humor that sometimes the Despicable movies would have. You know, it's fun. It's stupid, absolutely, but, you know, that's kind of the charm of Despicable Me. But, yeah, so overall, this is just showing a little bit of the story that it would revolve around Gru's relationship with his long-lost twin brother, Dru. And with that said, I actually really like this idea because it actually does stick with the grand theme of the movies, which is about family. Like, when you look back in the first movie, the element of family there is Gru and his relationship with the little girls. And then when you look into the second movie, it's about Gru and his relationship with Lucy potentially becoming a love interest, and also maybe a mother figure to the little girls. And now we got the third movie, which is going to be looking into brotherly love. So maybe this could be the guy version of Frozen. Who knows? But yeah, that's kind of the idea that we could be getting in here. And I really do like it. And so far with the Despicable Me movies, they really do execute that well, because not only does the Despicable Me films would have a lot of humor, but it also has a lot of heart. It really does hold a lot of great substance to it, and that's what I really do appreciate from these films. And seeing that there's a new version coming out of it in this form, you know, I really do like it. I think this is a great idea. It definitely does seem like a lot of fun. And one thing that this trailer definitely has over the Smurf trailer is that, yeah, sure, maybe Smurfs is a lot more visually appealing, but in here, it definitely has the humor. This is where the writing has a bigger strength in here, where you do have a little bit of a heart, not just with the relationship between Gru and Dru, but also with the relationship that he already has with Lucy and the little girls, but also the humor is fantastic. Like, honestly, it's just, this is kind of the same batch of humor that you would get from the previous Despicable Me films, and they have been pretty effective and really well done so far. And, like, this just continues on with the tradition that you do get the same style of, like, high-tech gadget, Wile E. Coyote-style humor, and also sharing a little bit of the same wit. And even at the end, you do get a little bit of an additional plot point where maybe even the Minions actually do play a bigger part in this movie, where after they reveal the title of Despicable Me 3, they would show the Minions kind of revolt. Well, I wouldn't say revolting, but, like, you know, they want to go against Gru because the Minions want to go back in the realm of villainy. Gru is not fully convinced that he's going back in the same territory of, like, his origins of being a supervillain and stuff like that, but the Minions really want to go back in that route. And there is at one point when one of the Minions, like, they would show an entire slideshow of comparing Gru with his achievements as a supervillain and then Gru with his achievements of being a house dad. It's like, ki babi do, ki babi de, ki babi do, ki babi de, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It actually is rather pretty funny, and, you know, it actually is pretty interesting to see that maybe that the Minions will probably play more of a part in this. Like, they're not just going to be a plot point like in Despicable Me 2. Or, well, not like, not a plot point, but I mean more like they're just going to be used more like as a weapon in a way, like in Despicable Me 2, where they end up being taken by the villain in the second film to be turned into, like, these purple monsters and stuff like that. Like, this one, the Minions are going to feel like more legitimate characters with an actual arc, with an actual development. So that's going to be pretty interesting. So yeah, with Despicable Me 3, that's pretty much going to be coming out in June. So we'll wait and see how that goes so far. And now let us go into a bit of a colder weather right now, where we are entering upon the latest Pixar film, which, well, not the latest, but the one that's going to be coming after Cars 3 when we're done with the whole hype of Lightning McQueen might possibly be dying, and then we hear that little kid in the back going, "Lightning!" If you've seen the trailer, you know exactly what I mean. But anyways, no, as you may know, in 2017, there are going to be two Pixar films this year, kind of like how last year we actually got two films from Walt Disney Animation Studios with Zootopia and Moana. Now, this year we are going to be getting Cars 3 and also Coco. But with Coco, we know absolutely nothing about it. All we know is that this is going to be a Pixar film with the whole theme of Dia de los Muertos. But in here, we have officially gotten our first look into what Coco could be. And so far, this is just an entire setup on who the main character is and what his adventure is going to be. So in here, we actually got our main character, which I believe his name is Miguel. Yes, his name is Miguel, and he looks up to his big, like he has a massive idol that he looks up to known as Ernesto de la Cruz. So he is a huge fan. He has like this entire mural devoted to him. And, you know, what he really loves from Ernesto is the fact that he has this huge passion of music. And he even has his own guitar where he would go and play music. It wouldn't be until he decided to go into some kind of museum or something, and he would pick up this, he would pick up Ernesto's guitar, and he just wants to go and try it out. But once he did try out Ernesto's guitar, suddenly things start to get a little bit weird as he is seeing himself enter upon the land of the dead, where he's starting to see skeletons walking around, and he's entering upon this brand new world, which is the land of the dead on the Day of the Dead. In a way, the one thing that when I look at this trailer with the way that it's setting everything up, the first thing that I actually think of, believe it or not, is actually Spirited Away. You know, it really does have a bit of that, it has a bit of that similarities if you really do think about it. Like, you got this kid, and then suddenly, like, he entered into this strange area, and suddenly the kid did something to where now he is starting to see a lot more ghosts all around the kid, and suddenly he finds himself in this magical world. So yeah, it definitely has that parallel with Spirited Away. But again, like, we don't really know a lot about this. This is just a teaser trailer, and it is hinting that there could be more information coming. Like, there was at one point when Miguel just picks up a picture, and then suddenly he realizes that his long-lost father could actually be his idol, Ernesto de la Cruz. Well, maybe that might not be the case, but the teaser trailer at least is hinting that. And also another aspect that it is hinting is that the animation is going to be absolutely grand. I mean, there is no denying that Pixar can do so much magic with their animation. Even to this day, some people still consider them the kings of computer animation. And what they have delivered here, I mean, the best scene has to be so far when Miguel takes his first look at the land of the dead, and you see this giant area. Hold on, I'm just, yeah, there we go. You just see this giant land where it's like filled with numerous of houses, and you see all the different colors and lights, and it really does look beautiful there. And also, I gotta say, with the animation itself, it actually really does look great. Like, I really love the character design in here. You don't really get a lot. You mostly get the designs of Ernesto de la Cruz, you get the designs of Miguel, and you do see a little bit of the skeletons. And that's pretty much it. And then you also got the entire Land of the Dead. And yeah, like you don't really get a lot, but it is very promising that the animation is going to be very phenomenal. But also, the one thing that is absolutely unavoidable when talking about Coco, I know that the internet is doing so many freaking shenanigans, and I'm sure that both Lee Unkrich and Jorge Gutierrez is a little bit tired of seeing all this crazy commotion going on about it, is the comparisons with The Book of Life. Now, even though, yes, it's true, these movies are like 3 years separate apart. So, yeah, like you can't really make direct comparisons to it. It's not like too much similarities, but they both are computer animated features with the theme of the Land of the Dead. So people are pretty much treating it right now like it's the next Bug's Life versus Ants, or Madagascar versus the Wild, or Despicable Me versus Megamind, you know, stuff like that. Like, even though, yes, they both have similarities, but you could tell that there is more of a difference, honestly. Like, you can absolutely differentiate with Coco and The Book of Life. With The Book of Life, what Jorge Gutierrez did is that he incorporated more of his unique art style on top of also putting in more of a comedic tone onto it. Like, that's the one thing about The Book of Life. Like, even though it is more of your typical animated feature in terms of the tone that it's trying to go with its humor and, you know, and trying to be a little bit more, how can I put this, abstract with its art style. It's not necessarily going in a realistic route. Like I said, Jorge Gutierrez has a very unique art style that he puts onto The Book of Life, and I have to admit, it is really clever with the way that he did put it in by making all the characters as, like, wooden puppets or wooden figures. That is actually really cool. While with Coco, on the other hand, or at least with the tone that we have in the trailer, it's a lot more serious. Like I said, this is exactly why I have more of a feeling of Spirited Away, more so than I did with The Book of Life. The tone is going to be emphasized a lot more on the whimsical aspect, on the magic of it, on the boy's passion of music, and, you know, his fanboyism over Ernesto de la Cruz. So it may actually turn out to be fantastic. Now, usually when it comes to trailers, when Disney would make them, usually they really underplay it. And who knows, this might even turn out to be probably the best animated feature of the year. So we can't really judge it for what it is right now. But either way, I definitely am impressed with what we got in terms of the trailer, and also with a bit of the character development with what we got with Miguel. So we'll just have to wait and see in the fall when this movie is going to be coming out in November to see if it's really going to be worth it, if it's going to be the next big Pixar movie, or if it's just going to be a Book of Life clone. Who knows what's going to happen? And finally, we now have our final trailer, which is a movie that's not going to be coming out this year, but in 2018, in early 2018, which is the next Aardman film, Early Man. And already, this movie is getting massive hype for it, or at the very least, massive hype with the animation community, considering that the people behind it, yeah, they got an amazing reputation. I mean, number one, it's made by Aardman Animation, and already they've gotten a great reputation in terms of making stop-motion animated features, and even just making stop-motion works in general. And two, this is going to be directed by Nick Park, one of the key players at Pixar, and the man who is responsible for the company's biggest characters. I'm talking about Wallace and Gromit, Shaun the Sheep, and also the man behind Chicken Run, the movie that is responsible for the Oscars to make Best Animated Feature. So with the two combined together, it's going to be pretty interesting. So with the teaser trailer that we got, or at least the one that I took from Aardman Animation's official YouTube page, it actually did start out with the voice of the main character called Doug, who is Academy Award winning, and also Newt Scamander himself, Eddie see Redmayne giving us a little introduction, saying that he's taking a little break from his voiceover performance as Doug, just to give a little bit of the introduction. But then, what ends up happening is that we do get a little bit of a teaser of what's going on. We don't know what the story is in general, but this is just a little teaser showing us what the animation is going to look like, and also a bit of the movie, of the movie's humor also. Where in here, the best way to describe it is that this is absolutely going back into the classic cartoons. This is going back into like classic Looney Tunes cartoons in a way, where you do get Nick Park's signature stop motion style, where you got the characters looking exactly like how they would in Wallace and Gromit, where even like Doug looks exactly like a caveman Wallace, and then you also got this wild boar who can easily be interpreted as Gromit. And like at one point you just see that Doug is trying to hunt this rabbit, but he also has like an entire crew or probably his entire family trying to set up the music, and it's pretty much breaking his mojo. But then they look at the rabbit and they realize it's like this evil carnivorous rabbit, so everybody is pretty much running away. Like, you just see this giant crowd running away from this tiny little bunny, and then they hit a rock, and then up shows the title. And that's pretty much all that you get, and it really is cute. Like I said, it's a massive throwback to the classic cartoons with the silly humor and, just this larger-than-life style of execution of it. It's a lot of fun. You could definitely tell that this is going to be a movie that could probably emphasize a little bit more on the humor. Maybe they'll probably do something a little bit extra with the animation, but who knows with what they can do. I mean, with Wallace and Gromit, it sticks to the tone of the original shorts. And, it does play along with the comedy horror aspect. And with Chicken Run, that one is also comedic as well, but you also get more of the action comedy. Now, with Early Man, we don't know what's going to be going on, but maybe this is just going to be pure comedy. Like, we're not going to see so much of a blend or something like that. Maybe it will have some action as well, where they're going to include some dinosaurs. But for the most part, like, it definitely did sold me on the comedy aspect of it. So, who knows what's going to happen. There really isn't much to say about Early Man. But yeah, this is going to be coming out in 2018, February 2018. So yeah, that's pretty much the whole round of the trailers that we got so far. So just a little recap. We got the Smurfs, which, even though the writing doesn't look promising, the animation actually does. We then also got Despicable Me 3, which looks like it's going to stay true with the entire series, and it does look like it's going to give us a batch of great humor and also great heart as well. And then we also got Coco, which it does have a bit of a Spirited Away vibe with the theme of the Day of the Dead, so that might actually have some promise. And then we got Early Man, which actually gave us some nice little cartoon-style humor, greatly executed by the people at Aardman and also Nick Park. So who knows what's going to happen, but yeah. For those of you excited to see the Smurfs, keep in mind that movie is going to be coming out on April 7th. Now, if you're excited to go and see Despicable Me 3, that movie is going to be coming out on June 30th. If you guys are anticipating to go see Coco, that movie is going to be coming out on November 22nd. And finally, if you are excited to see Early Man, then that movie is going to be coming out on February 2018. All right, now for our next story, we got another small clip here, but this is not necessarily a trailer, or maybe some people can interpret this as a trailer, but it's not like the last ones. This is something that's starting a little mini-series. This is kind of like the pilot episode of this. And I am talking, of course, about Disney XD's Rocket and Groot. Now, this was something that Marvel has already announced last summer, where they would go and do this little miniseries that would star Rocket and Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. And with the episode that they presented right here, it pretty much really set up the basis of what this show is going to be. So Rocket Raccoon and Groot, they were just going off on their little adventures, and then suddenly their old ship kind of crashed down. And they were in the junkyard to go find some spare parts to fix it. But then suddenly Rocket spotted this brand new spaceship that looks perfect. Like, they don't need to go and get, like, old pieces to fix up their old ship. They can just go get a brand spanking new spaceship that's somehow in the junkyard. But then there's this one guy that just came out on the side, and he wanted to sell that ship to Rocket Raccoon and Groot. But the problem is that it would cost them 3 million credits. So for the rest of the series, Rocket Raccoon and Groot has to go and find a way in order to get 3 million credits to go and buy the new ship. And the one thing that I would like to point out from this series is that they did bring back some of the voice actors from the TV series of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. This isn't like Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper. Instead, what they did is that they brought in Trevor Duvall as Rocket Raccoon and also the great Kevin Michael Richardson as Groot. Now, with that said, looking at this first episode, it is a little bit interesting, I gotta say, especially in the animation, because you could definitely tell that it is computer animated, but it's so stylized at the same time. I think the best way to describe it is that it has a little bit of that style that is similar to something like Patrick Osborne's Feast, where the colors are very, like, presentable. Like, they're just very monochrome, and the use of, like, shadowing and stuff like that, it's not as, or, like, shadowing and lighting, it's not as necessarily prominent in here. Like, everything is meant to look stylized. It's the kind of computer animation that's also trying to look 2D at the same time. Like, I took my source here on Cartoon Brew, and there's this one picture with the salesman and Rocket Raccoon, and Rocket Raccoon looks like it's 2D. Like, Rocket Raccoon actually does look like he's 2D animated with the use of flat colors onto him. In a way, like when you would look at a picture of this, you would expect this would be flash animated, but instead, it's actually this interestingly stylized computer animation. Yes, I know I would say that a lot, but how else would you describe it? But at the same time, when looking into the first episodes, it does make me think a little bit about how is it that, like, it mostly makes me think about what's going to be for the rest of the plot, because I do have a little bit of questions, is that considering that they went into the junkyard to go and find scraps or like pieces of working material to put onto their ship, like, what is it that's really stopping them from trying to get that new ship? I mean, they're in a junkyard, so they can go and get whatever they want and they don't have to pay. Like, who is this weird salesman guy that's trying to sell them that? Like, honestly, like, I would expect Rocket Raccoon to just blast him off and just go and take the spaceship, but somehow they decided that they gotta go have a major plot point for it, so I guess for the rest of the cartoon, they gotta go and try to grab up all the money to satisfy this guy. But at the same time, I guess, like, maybe they'll reveal all of it, like, for the big punchline at the end of this little series. Like, it might pay off somewhere where they realize that, wait a minute, why are we making this deal with this guy in a freaking junkyard where we can go and grab whatever we want? But who knows? Like, maybe what could come off of it is actually a pretty interesting and funny Marvel cartoon. And that's mostly what I'm expecting, because this is supposed to be like a short mini-series with just 2-minute episodes each. And in each one of them, what I'm probably expecting is that, like, you'll see Rocket Raccoon and Groot on, like, this little, they're going to go and pull off these little shenanigan adventures where the goal is just to make as much credits as possible. But who knows what could possibly happen. But the big thing is that right now, Disney XD is going to be releasing the 12 episodes onto their channel on Disney X, or on their YouTube channel of Disney XD. Not all of them at once, but one at a time. But then on their TV channel, on April 10th at 7 a.m., they're going to take all these shorts and release them all at once as this little special. So just a little heads up. If you guys want to go and check out Rocket and Groot's adventures, just go and subscribe to Disney XD. But if you want to wait until you could go see them all at once on television, then just wait on April 10th at 7 a.m. Okay, so for our next story, we're still going to be staying on Disney XD, but this time we're going to be looking at one of their brand new shows, which is Big Hero 6 The Series, which is based on the animated feature that Disney has done back in 2014, which actually won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. And with that said, apparently things are going so well for the series that Disney immediately decided to go and get a season 2 for it. Now, for those of you that don't know about the TV show itself, it says here on my source on The Hollywood Reporter, the series, which picks up immediately following the events of the film, continues the adventures and friendship of 14-year-old Hero and his compassionate, cutting-edge robot, Baymax, along with their friends Wasabi, Honey Lemon, Go-Go, and Fred. They form the legendary superhero team Big Hero 6 and embark on the high-tech adventures as they protect their city from an array of scientifically enhanced villains. And on top of that, you actually do get a lot of the original actors coming back. Like, you got Genesis Rodriguez returning, you got Maya Rudolph, you got Alan Tudyk, you also got Stan Lee coming back. Also, by the way, who is Hero, by the way? That could be an important one to... Oh yeah, Jamie Chung is also returning. So you got a lot of the original cast coming back, with the exception that Damon Wayans Jr. and TJ Miller is not returning. Instead, it's going to be, Kari Payton will be, voicing Wasabi, and also Brooks Wheelan will be playing as Fred, along with a brand new batch of voice actors coming in, playing all new characters, which are also a whole bunch of supervillains. Okay, so with all that said, you know, it actually looks great. Things are going pretty well for the series, and I guess it's actually doing pretty successful enough to the point that they decided to go get in season 2, right? But there's actually one big problem with that. Apparently, the show's not even on yet. The premiere of the entire series is supposed to be for this fall. So Disney is really jumping the gun by ordering a season 2. But keep in mind, this is not the only one that they've done. They didn't do it with just this. They've also previously done it with the DuckTales reboot, where they already went and ordered a second season. And honestly, I feel like this is really jumping the gun. And I feel like they're already thinking that this is going to be such a big hit that they're already moving forward by ordering more seasons instead of just waiting and see if the first season would actually do well. I feel like this is just a massive risk, you know? I do feel the same way whenever there's a movie out there that... Or, like, when there's an animation studio that would go and create a movie, and then they already decide to go and create a sequel for it, like, while they're wrapping up production onto the first film, they're immediately going and thinking about, like, trying to do a second, a second movie for it, like a sequel. Which, honestly, I feel like right now, that would be way too big of a risk, because there's also the factor of, like, what if it doesn't work? What if people don't really like this Big Hero 6 series? Or what if they don't like the DuckTales series? Then what the heck did you do by spending more money on it by giving it a season 2? You know, it's honestly kind of this big, I feel like it's a little bit too much of a risk. I feel like the earliest that you can do is just wait a few episodes and see how it goes from there. Like, if people are really interested, if audiences enjoy it, if critics enjoy it, and if it really does rank up the views and, you know, like, if it ranks up the ratings on television, if it's really helping Disney XD. I don't know, like in a way, some people can argue that it would make a little bit more sense with DuckTales, considering that that show is already being highly anticipated. Like, the hype is going really big on it, especially after the first look of it. But with Big Hero 6, we don't really have anything for it, but who knows? Like, maybe it could end up being a hit. Like, the premise is already there to have, like, this awesome action-packed series, but I don't know. Like, for me, I just feel like it's a little too early to go and make more of it when you don't even know if the first batch of what you have is a good idea. But I don't know. We'll just wait and see. Maybe things will work out, maybe it won't, but we will only know until this fall if it's a good idea to have more of the Big Hero 6 series. Okay, so for our next story, we are going to be looking at one of the upcoming live-action reboots. And no, this time, I'm not going to be looking into one of the Disney ones, rather it be from their list of many of the things that they have planned out, or if it's Beauty and the Beast. I'm not looking into that. This time, I am going to be looking into Ghost in the Shell, since that movie is actually coming very soon. And apparently, this is going to be something that they are doing in Japan, which, honestly, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this is actually pretty cool, to say the least. And apparently, what they will do in Japan is that they're not going to bring in big-name Japanese actors to do the voices just for marketing and promotional purposes. Instead, they're actually bringing in the people who voiced the original anime, or the original 1995 animated feature, to come back and reprise their roles for this movie. So, according to my source here in Kotaku, it seems that Akio Otsuka will be coming back to provide the voice of Bato. Then afterwards, we also got Koichi Yamadera, who will be voicing Totsuka. And finally, we got Atsuko Tanaka, that will be voicing Motoko. Or in this case, apparently, that's not what she's going to be called in the live-action movie. Instead, like, some people are saying that apparently her name will be either Mira, or they're just sticking to Major. But the biggest thing is that Atsuko Tanaka will be voicing Scarlett Johansson. And honestly, this idea is actually really cool, down to the point that it even got the approval of the director of the original 1995 movie, Mamoru Oshii, where he even stated, "It has been a while since they've played these characters. I definitely want them to deliver performances they see fit. They're all pros, so there's nothing to worry about. And I can only say that this is something to look forward to." Which is actually really nice, I gotta say. And, you know, like, when thinking about it, it really does bring in more of an authenticity to the movie, more so than maybe it would in the original English version. Because the thing is with, with this kind of, like, dubbing, this is not necessarily the first time that it ever occurred. Like, when you got, like, a live-action remake of a movie that's based on an anime, usually what would happen, rather it be English or a Japanese dub, like, they would bring in the people who did the voice in that anime to come back and, you know, like, really bring the character to life. And it did work. It also did work the other way around, like kind of like the opposite effect onto the live action Ghost in the Shell movies, or at least now the whole film franchise, because I know that in Japan there's like several of them. And I think just recently they released the third movie where the third movie is pretty much chronicles the events after L passed away. And now we see some of the other characters like M and, oh my God, it's been a while, but it's with the two successors of L trying to finally go and catch Light, which it turns out that he's Kira. As I was saying, with the Death Note movies, they decided in order to bring them to the US and stuff like that, they would actually bring in the people who provided the voice of the English dub in the anime to voice the characters in there, which is honestly really, really cool. And I mean, it does bring in a special little treat for any anime fans, and I'm sure for the people in Japan, they'll probably get more of a treat for Ghost in the Shell more so than us, because like now they do have the familiar voices, like it will feel a little bit more authentic. The only question is going to be regarding the script. That's going to be the big factor, if they're going to change up a little bit of the dialogue to connect a little bit more to the original source material than it is right here. Who knows what they can do with it, but the one thing that I do imagine about it is that this is I can imagine that many anime fans out there, not all of them, but there are going to be some that will treat the Ghost in the Shell live action movie as an anime, where they're pretty much going to they're pretty much going to say that apparently don't go and watch the English version. Like, English dubs are the devil, just stick to Japanese. You know those types of anime fans, the ones that, like, they want it to be as original and authentic as possible, where they want to keep it with the Japanese dub and put up the subtitles if they need to, and, like, avoid the English dubs, and they, the ones who have such a huge, passionate hate for companies like 4Kids, or even like their rage is so strong they would even have a hate for Funimation, you know, like those kinds of people, like, and they want to have the full authenticity of Ghost in the Shell, so they just want to stick to the Japanese dub. That could be the case, but I don't know, we'll just have to wait and see. But rather if the movie will be good in itself, rather if it's going to be a bit better in a Japanese dub, who knows what's going to happen, but we'll only have to wait and see how ultimately the Ghost in the Shell movie will be when that film is going to come out on March 31st. And so, finally, we shall now end things off with Matt's pick of the week, and I'm sorry I have to do this, guys, but I kind of have to end this off a bit on a low note here, or at least a bit on a downer note. And the reason why I say that, not necessarily anything that's too bad that's going on right now. Don't worry, it's nothing really with politics or anything like that. But it's a news that it definitely affects someone who has really touched the lives of millions of people and really did shape how television animation is today. And I am talking, of course, about Stefan Hellenberg. And I'm sure that's a familiar name to you guys, considering that Stefan Hellenberg is the man behind the legendary series SpongeBob SquarePants. And if you are watching this, then there's probably a good chance that there is at some point that you have seen SpongeBob. That, rather it be like the classic episodes, or even you're watching the new episodes that are going on right now, like you've been a long devoted SpongeBob fan, or you just knew, like, recently discovered SpongeBob, there is a very high chance that you have at least seen an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants, or at least watched some episodes of SpongeBob. But anyways, going back to the news, sadly, Stefan Hellenberg did announce that he actually got diagnosed with ALS. Now, for those of you who don't know, going directly on my source here on Variety, It says here that a source close to Hillenburg says he received the diagnosis recently, and it is in the early stages of the disease. ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a rare terminal illness that affects nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. Hillenburg even did release a statement to Variety stating, "I wanted people to hear directly from me that I have been diagnosed with ALS. Anyone who knows me knows that I will continue to work on SpongeBob SquarePants and my other passions for as long as I am able. My family and I are grateful for the outpouring of love and support. We ask that our sincere request for privacy to be honored during this time." At the same time, a representative at Nickelodeon also released a statement saying that Steve Hillenburg is a brilliant creator who brings joy to millions of fans. Our thoughts and supports are with Steve and his family during this difficult time. Out of respect for their wishes for privacy, we will have no further comment. And it really is unfortunate when it comes to Stefan Hillenburg, considering that he just got back on the saddle with SpongeBob, and he really did recently played a bigger contribution where he decided to go and help out with the show a little bit more, especially after the second movie, Sponge Out of Water. And, you know, like, just hearing someone like Stefan Hillenburg actually getting ALS, it is a little bit heartbreaking to say. And like I said, like, there's always a moment in everyone's lives where they have at least been watching SpongeBob, whether it be a kid or they're still watching it to this day. And considering how SpongeBob is such a huge, huge series, like, this man definitely is influential. This man really did shape up not only how Nickelodeon is right now, like how it really made Nickelodeon as a great contender in terms of television animation, but also like one of the most memorable animated TV shows out there. Like, the show started in like 1999, I believe. Like, in 1999, and it's still running to this day. Like, it's a little bit it's a little bit freaky to know that apparently coming soon, SpongeBob is gonna turn frickin' 20, which is insane, because like, I look back as a kid and I remember the days when I would continuously watch these SpongeBob episodes, and they could be fantastic. I mean, like, so like, I remember watching some of the best episodes of SpongeBob, and they really are hilarious. In fact, many of my friends have seen SpongeBob, and even to this day, we would talk about, like, good old memories of SpongeBob, rather be, like, honestly, the best, like, for me, at least, the best seasons would probably come from, like, season 2 and season 3, and, like, you got a lot of wonderful moments coming out of there, and I completely do understand, and I will respect the wishes of Mr. Hillenburg, that right now, when it comes to this situation, that the best thing we can do right now is just leave him alone. But I'm sure some of you out there, you want, like, you do, you might have a feeling that you want to go and help out Hillenburg in this situation. You want to go and try to do something, like, you want to find a way if there's anything that you can do to go and help out Stephen Hillenburg in this situation right now. If you want to go and should you release an email showing your support? Should you go and, like, watch more episodes of SpongeBob and stuff like that? Well, no, not necessarily. I know the perfect way that you can do to go and help out people like Stefan Hillenburg and many others. And that way is actually to go and donate to fight ALS. Like, go to your local representative that would go and do some research on how to fight ALS and just donate to them. In fact, when I heard the news about Stefan Hillenburg getting ALS, I actually went and donated $100 to ALS research. I legitimately went and did that. So I feel like that could be the best thing that you could do so far is, you know, if you want to help him out, try to go and find a cure for the guy. So it's not just going to be beneficial to Mr. Hillenburg, but also to millions of other people with ALS. And I mean, I'm sure, like, at this point, you guys are familiar with what ALS is. If you remember, like, a couple of years ago, like, there was the huge trend going on with the Ice Bucket Challenge, where you would dump a bucket of, a bucket of really cold water with some ice in it, just dump it on your head, and afterwards you just go and donate to ALS. You know, just do that little thing. And it was a huge trend that went on for a while. And I feel like with this little moment with Hillenburg getting ALS, you could pretty much go and revive it. Not necessarily to just pour really cold water on your head, but more just to go and donate ALS, to go and help them out. And I think that's the best thing that you can do so far. But yeah, at this point, the best thing that I could do is just really do wish Steven Hillenburg and his family all the best, and hopefully that they will continue to go and fight ALS, and I wish them the best of luck, and hopefully Nickelodeon, SpongeBob, and everyone else there associated with Stefan, but to go and do the best. Let's just let's see what happens. I just wish Steven Hillenburg the best. But anyways, that is all that I've got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-work.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on my Twitter at Animat505. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be lovely. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that little like button on our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes.